And welcome back to Coast. We've got open lines for you now. Friday night into Saturday morning, open lines. Some of you who are a little old enough to remember this, the phrase party lines, party lines. Now, a lot of you younger folks are probably saying, what the heck's he talking about? What's a party line? In the old days, everybody had their phone in the house, right? A landline. But you shared the line. You had your own phone number. But you shared the line, I don't know how they did it technically, with a lot of people in your neighborhood because not everybody had these lines all over the place. And the phone company shared what they call party lines. So in theory, if you were going to use your phone and somebody in your neighbor was already on the phone, right? They're on their phone, they're making a call, they're talking to someone. You could pick up the phone in your house and listen to them. That's what they call party lines. It's unbelievable how technology has now changed. But one of the things I wanted to ask you, it's a very simple question. Do you still have a landline in your house, or are you simply using your cell phone now? Or did you have a landline and you canceled it and you used your cell phone? I just want to get an answer out of that. But we'll be back with Open Lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Open Lines. George Norrie with you, and glad that you are with us. Hope you have a great weekend coming up, and we will hit the deck again for you Monday. We've got Connie Willis and George Knapp for you over the weekend. Let's go to the phones. First-time caller Candace is with us in the state of Washington. Hello, Candace.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm great. Hope you are, too. What's up?
Well, my husband turned me on to your show a few months ago, and we talk a lot about your topics and everything, and we were talking about the tarot readers. And I personally have noticed a trend on, like, Facebook and even some people I know about how basically since coronavirus has came about, we have noticed a trend in more pagan beliefs or pagan-like rituals like tarot kind of seem to be on the rise because my husband practices a Sautru. And so that's something he's been familiar with. And I was wanting to know your thoughts on that, if you've noticed the same thing and if maybe you thought it could be with people home and getting more into themselves without all the distraction of life that we had pre-corona. And I just thought that was an interesting topic that you might have something to weigh in on.
I think that's what's beginning to happen right now, Candace. I think a lot of people, because most people are staying home, are getting into things that they never got into before. And they're getting into, you know, prayer, tarot cards, all kinds of things, numerology, astrology. I mean, they're dabbling with just about everything. And I, you know, in California, for example, I don't see anything ending. They just implemented outside dining, limited seats, I think maybe only like six or something like that, no televisions, and that the people you're eating with must be related to you. So you can't even go out with friends. So I think a lot of people are home concentrating on doing a lot of stuff. Now, let me ask you, with you and your husband, are you concentrating a lot differently because of COVID?
Well, actually, my journey with my faith, because I was laid off because of COVID, I've had a lot more time to be able to look within myself and figure out what was most correct to me, because I grew up Christian, but that now that I'm older, that's not what works for me. So with me personally, yes, I always consider myself more of connecting to the earth and, like, you know, just basically anything in nature that really resonates with me. And I was able to explore that more and meditate more on that, and just be out more in nature because of that, because now I actually have the time and less distractions too. So.
And let me ask you, do you still have a landline telephone, or are you just simply using cell phones now?
Oh, no, cell phone. I mean, I'm only 30, so I haven't had a landline around since I was a teenager at home with my mom and dad.
Okay, great. Thanks. Landlines are archaic for anybody over a certain age or under a certain age. Let's go next to Brenda in West Virginia. Welcome to the program. Hi, Brenda. Good morning.
George, how you doing, honey?
Okay. Do you landline or cell phone? What do you have these days?
I got both.
Yeah.
And I know all about the party lines. Boy, were they a trip.
Oh, my God, those days. And you, do you get a lot of robocalls on your landline?
Yes, all the time.
Me
all
too.
The time. They drive me crazy.
Crazy. I'm getting a scam now. Listen to this one. And we'll get into what you called about in just a second.
Okay.
But I'm getting a scam on, they call and say, if you have an Amazon account and it's been, somebody's charged $800 worth of stuff, we need to get into your account and fix that for you. And then they want you to hit a button. And I went online and checked this. And if you hit the number or the button, like #1,
uh-huh,
they take you to this operator in India. And
okay,
what they want you to do is download an app, and once they do, they can get into your computer or your phone, and they get your records, your bank records, and all this other stuff.
Right.
And then they ask you, you know, put your password in, if you would, please. And you don't know they're into your computer or your phone.
Right.
You think you're out there just trying to fix this faulty
right
sale, and they get you, but they're all over the place.
They are.
Geez.
I get at least 3 calls every morning, usually before noon, and because I'm usually up all night with you and sleep in the morning.
Yeah.
And they always wake me up, and it's always something stupid. But most of mine, they say they're from Medicare, and I know they're not.
Yeah, I'm getting those too.
Yeah, I get lots of them from Medicare.
And a lot of them are recorded messages too. There's not even a human there.
Yeah. The best thing to do is just say hello, and then almost all the time you don't hear anything for a while, so hang up, you know.
And then you try to call them back, and you can. And also, one other thing, have you noticed where they trick you and they call you from your area code?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Like they're your neighbor or something like that.
Yep, they're into it big time here, that's for sure.
It's crazy. Anyways, what's up?
Well, I wanted to tell you a little bit about the party lines here. When I grew up here, we had the party lines, and they would be usually 3 different families on each party line. And when you picked it up, of course, you could hear them talking and everything, just like you was in the room with them. And the neighbors would pick it up, and you could hear them click, and you could hear them listening to you. And I remember how you used to argue and fight about, hang up the phone, this is important, you know. They start yelling at each other and stuff. And it was hilarious, really. But then people start calling each other nosy and all kind of crazy stuff. And it's just amazing how that happened back then, the way things are today, you know. But I have a landline still because I live out in the mountains in West Virginia, and I got a cell phone, a smartphone, but it just doesn't work unless I go outside, you know. So
exactly.
I keep both, and I also get my internet that way too, so.
But the world is going to cell phones. They're getting away from landlines.
Yeah, almost every. I don't hardly know anybody's got a landline anymore but me and a few people around here that gets their internet that way.
How about pay phones? There's not many of those left either.
I haven't seen any of those in a long time.
No, they're all going away. I love it.
The other day, you sent me a package for my birthday. I appreciate it.
Oh, you got the books.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, thank you very much, George. That's any birthday present I got.
We make a promise, we always follow through.
Yeah, you sure do. I appreciate it.
We guessed at the kind of books you'd like. How'd we do?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. I love anything paranormal, and you sent me some like on diabetes, and I'm a diabetic, so that's cool.
All right, good. Yeah, we sent you one on sugar and stuff like that. Okay, great. Thanks, Brenda.
I wanted to tell you and ask you if you've had any miracles, because I've had lots of miracles in my life, and I have a lot of health issues, and I had a really major miracle in December I wanted to tell you about.
Waking up in the morning is a miracle, Brenda.
That's the truth.
That's my miracle.
Well, in December, something happened. My knee went out on me. I've already had one total knee replacement, and I need the other one done. So my other one went out on me completely. I mean, George, I was screaming in pain. I couldn't put no weight on it at all, so I couldn't even walk on it with a walker. It was awful. So I went to the ER, and they said, we just can't get you in till at least January the 5th. So this was like a month later. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I can't take it. You know, I'm screaming and bang, you know. And so luckily, I got a friend that is staying with me around the clock and has been with me ever since, George. I'm so blessed to have her. And because it would be hell if I didn't have somebody. I live out in the country, you know.
Oh, my God,
I can't get my groceries by myself, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, I came home that day from the hospital after I'd cried and begged and pleaded with them to saw my leg in half and give me a new knee. and they just said they couldn't do it till January. So I came home and I got on the computer right away and just pleaded with everybody on my Facebook to pray for me that I was in horrible pain and it was going to be at least 3 or 4 weeks before I could get surgery. And they all started praying for me, George, and the pain stopped immediately.
It works.
It sure does.
Prayer works. All right,
great. And
then
I got a message yesterday that I'm still not going to be able to get my surgery till March the 15th.
Well, you'll get it eventually, and we'll put you on the prayer list as well, Brenda. Thanks. We take text and tweets during open lines. Tom, somebody has texted or tweeted you?
They have. This one from Jeanette in Deming, New Mexico, simply says, do you have a favorite prized possession?
A favorite prized possession? Yeah, let me tell you. Doug Hutchison, who played in the Green Mile. Remember him?
I do.
He played Percy. We had him on the show.
We did.
A couple of years ago.
I didn't believe him at
and
first.
He brought us as a gift the billy club he used in that movie.
I remember.
And I still have that. It's great. I should have had him authenticate it or sign it or something.
And that's your best prized possession?
Prized possession, yeah. I mean, what else would you keep?
I don't know, something childhood?
I mean, I've got scrapbooks, you know, from since I was in grade school and stuff like that. But the billy club from the Green Mile was fun because whenever you watch the movie, you see the club and you go, hey, I got it. It's right there in that closet.
You actually have a better one.
What?
Because I have the other one. There's only two in this world, and they were given to us. You know what I'm talking about?
Billy Gibbons' hand.
He x-rayed his guitar hand and signed the x-ray. Come on.
Is that going to be worth anything at the pawn shops?
Are you kidding me?
Do you think if you went into Vegas with that picture signed by Billy Gibbons, which they'd authenticate, he'd say, well, we got a guy down the street who is an expert in signatures. So the guy would come and go, yeah, that's Billy Gibbons' signature. But do you think that's worth anything to anybody?
100%.
You really do.
He just did a segment with Pawn Stars, and some lady came in with his jacket that he wore on tour. He had lost.
I saw that.
Yeah. Yeah, it fetched like $100,000.
Well, how much do you think a Xerox copy of his hand, signed by him, would go for?
You know, I don't know what the market would bear, but there's total fans out there, so.
I want your Hank Aaron baseball card.
Never.
Give that to me. That's going to be worth something. What a great baseball player he was. But, you know, let me ask you a question about, do you follow baseball?
A little bit, not as much as football and hockey.
What do you think, and I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but what was Hank Aaron's record that made him so great? What did he do?
It was, okay, this is going to be a close guess.
You should know
this. 700, I think, and 15 breaking babes, 714.
Okay, great. He ended up being like 759 or something like that.
Okay,
the all-time mark. But is he the record holder?
What do you mean by that?
Is he the record holder? You just said he beat Babe Ruth, but is Hank Aaron the home run record holder?
I don't know if anybody's ever beaten farther than that number. But here's the thing. There's a debate because when the Babe was slugging, you know, it wasn't as far, and there's all, you know, things about steroids.
And they didn't play as many games and
yeah,
stuff
so
like that.
So there's a lot of components.
But Barry Bonds...
Oh, yeah.
Has more home runs than Hank Aaron did.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot about that.
Everybody does.
But now, didn't Bonds, wasn't there a controversy about steroids?
There was a little bit, but, I mean, he's still the record holder.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm not a big enough baseball fan to care that much, but I think those guys are amazing in itself. So.
All right, back to the calls. Mike in Denver, Colorado. Hey, Michael, welcome.
Good morning, George. Thank you so much for taking my call.
And morning.
Perfect segue into this. I don't know if you heard, but a few weeks ago, a Mickey Mantle baseball card sold for $5.2 million.
I heard that, and I think Tommy has some of those. I used to have all those, Mike. And when I, you know, grew up and moved out of the house, I kept all my stuff at my mom and dad's house.
Right.
And I think she gave them all away. I can't find them.
Wow.
They're gone. And I had Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Mickey Mantle. I had them all.
Yeah. That's something. I mean, it's something how, you know, $5.2 million at auction. It was the most expensive price ever paid for a baseball card. This was just a couple weeks ago, Mickey Mantle. And it's amazing how, you know, people have, you know, care that much about collecting. It's really a big business, card collecting and sports card and memorabilia for that matter.
Oh, they love that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. You know, George, on your subject tonight, great subject. You know, I have a cell phone. I have an iPhone. And it's kind of interesting that you bring that subject up because, you know, so many times, you know, I feel like younger people are spending more times, you know, on social media and on their phones than they are caring about themselves and self-care. And, you know, I see that so much with younger people today that they put too much time into social media and things like that on their phones. But you're absolutely right that, you know, the current is moving towards iPhones and cell phones. We do have a landline phone, but it doesn't get much use here. that's definitely kind of an interesting idea of that question.
And I tell you what, if I keep getting these robocalls on my landline, I'm going to get that yanked. I mean, it's just, it's constant trying to sell stuff or scam you or all these other things. I get but I'm getting a few on my cell phone now too. Are you?
I do. I get a lot of spam email, and I also get lots of phone calls. See, on my iPhone, it says if I get a spam call, it'll tell me spam phone call. And it won't even give the caller ID. So I just usually don't answer those calls for obvious reasons. But absolutely, I do get those, George. Yeah.
They're everywhere. Okay, Michael, stay in touch.
Okay.
Mike in Denver, he's 24 years old. He's the millennial who calls the program every once in a while. Annie in Alabama. Hello, Annie.
Thank you so much for taking my call, George. I have a landline and cell phone. And 9 people out of 10 I know who think they've got a landline find out they've got a fake landline. When the lights go out, they don't have a phone.
What's a fake? What's a fake landline? What is that?
Well, it's just a fake landline. They sell it to people making out like it's a landline, and it's some fly-by-night phone company that sells them a phone that works. Unless the lights go out, then you don't have a phone. You know you got taken.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You mean like if AT&T, if there's a power outage and you've got an AT&T landline, it should still work?
If it's a genuine landline, it's going to work.
Okay. So that's not hooked into the electrical system. That's interesting.
Absolutely not. You don't need electricity to use a telephone if it's a real phone.
All right. You know what? I keep thinking everything's electric. I think you're right.
Yeah, I know, because the lights go out here when we have a storm, and I'm the only one in town that's got a phone. I ran the radio station off of a dial-up and a landline because they couldn't access anything.
You're going to keep that landline?
Absolutely. I wouldn't take $1 million for it, and I'm calling about, I did some research. I have a good solution for people that are homebound because of corona and homebound for whatever reason. They can't get their corona shots, and I researched it and found out there's 2 million people that can't get their shots because they are homebound. But the good news is that it's being delivered to people's houses in Seminole County in Florida, places in Texas and California and England, and there are vaccines that can hold up. That's Moderna. And there's a Lupita's ice cream company that has an ice cream truck that doesn't run anymore.
And they've got the freezing. And you're right, though. That's a trend that's going to continue. They'll come to your house and administer the vaccine. I think that's going to happen. We've got more open lines for you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Open Lines. George Norrie with you. It is our pleasure to be here with you. Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. We know who you are.
Yeah, George, you usually call me corny and stuff.
Our buddy Barry had another stroke.
What?
You didn't hear this?
No, George, I didn't hear that. I'm glad you told me.
No, he's okay. He's called the show after, but he called in earlier this week and said, you know about that one. I don't mean another one on top of the one he called in. But I didn't know if you knew about that one.
Yeah, I was on, but you never did make it when you're talking to James Parrish. Boy, I'm going to tell you a quick story about that but landlines, I still got one, George. But sometimes I told Tommy, when I call y'all, it'll ring and everything, and then it'll just click off. And that's not y'all, so I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
So I'm on my cell phone now because I couldn't get you on my landline, so I don't know who's messing with the landline, but I was able to get through on the cell phone. But anyway, on Jim Paris. And you've sent me books, too. I want to thank you. I won some contest when I was talking to you. I guessed the right thing or something like that. And so you sent me a bunch of books, too. And then I think I got Worker in the Light was one of the books.
But, that's one of mine. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. One was one of yours. Jim Paris sent me his little book, and he signed it and everything. And I wanted to talk about that because that meant so much to me. George, your show, Mike the Millennial and Annie and of course, Barry and Wayne in Washington and Wayne in Chicago and just so many others are Cleopatra in Louisville, the lovely Louise. I guess, George, what I'm trying to say, this is my only family now. And after Papa passed, it's been real lonely and stuff, but
Do you look forward to the show coming on at night? I mean, is it something like anticipation for you?
George, you don't know how much forward I look forward to listening to you or Gina or, you know, Donna and all the rest of the call screeners and stuff, and, of course, Tommy. Like I said, I was the only child and stuff, and I've never been married before. I don't have any kids that I know of. And no, I don't have any children. But it's just that since Art Bell and stuff, and Art meant a whole lot to me. And I believe you and Art were on Larry King Live, weren't you?
Well, not together, but we were. But we were on that show. I was on it twice. I think Art was on it a couple times too.
Right, and I love Larry King, and boy, I tell you, we need you to last a long time. And you say you want to die on the air. God, man, we don't want to have you die. I can see Tommy, oh, Lord, George and fell out of it.
Tommy would love to do the rest of the show if I succumbed.
No.
They're waiting in line.
Yeah, I tell you, George. But like I said, I'm going to keep a landline. I'm just not going to give up the landline. But cell phones are a great invention and stuff. I don't know if you were when you were in the Navy. I know you didn't do any landline stuff like me and the military police, but I know you've seen these old World War II movies, George. You ever seen them where they crank the phone?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay. Let me tell you what happened to me one time. Stupid as I am, being a military police officer, they told me, "Look, hold these two wires together."
Oh no! Zip.
Hey, boy, they cranked that thing up. Ah! It shocked the hell out of me.
They gave you an electric treatment.
Yeah, yeah. But I miss all those days of my MP days and stuff. And I know you probably miss some of your Navy days and stuff.
I miss the buddies. I miss the guys that I was with in my unit. One ended up being an admiral. And then his twin brother moved to Thailand and got married and has a child. As a matter of fact, he just contacted me earlier this week. And so I miss my buddies. There's another guy called up, my buddy. I'm not going to mention his name, but he called up and he said he needed $320. He's short. Can I help him? And I wired him $320. Actually, I made it $350. I gave him a little more than he wanted.
You're the best, George. You and Tommy, I tell you, y'all always try to help out people. And since Papa passed, I've had people that I never known just try to help me out and stuff. My old truck was broke down, and I didn't want to tell y'all nothing. But, man, it's fixed now so I can get around and stuff. But, man, bumming rides on people, I hate to do that.
I know. Have you ever taken Uber?
No, I don't deal. That's another thing I wanted to tell you. You know, I'm 60 years old. January 5th, I made 60.
That's right. Happy birthday.
I never emailed George. My dad never emailed, never text, never tweeted. So I don't do any of that stuff that Mike the Millennial does and y'all do and everything. But let me tell you one more thing before you let me off the air. I was telling Tommy, I was going through, you know, stuff from my dad, my mom, and myself, and I've got an After Dark newsletter thing from one of your people that's still there. I won't name the person. And it's a thank you note because I've been getting the After Dark newsletter for years.
Right.
And I wish you would bring that back, but I know you're not. But I love that. I got so many of them. You could probably start a museum with them. Y'all talking about baseball cards and stuff like that.
Everything's gone digital these days. You know, we've got the Coast Zone newsletter for you, but it's all digital. Everything's digital these days. I mean, when's the last time? One more question from me. When's the last time you physically read a newspaper?
Oh, I still do. Our local paper, it went from a daily paper now to where it's 3 days a week. And, of course, the USA Today comes out 5 days a week.
I bet Mike the Millennial doesn't read the newspaper because he does everything online.
Yeah, I know. The world
has changed.
Yeah, I need to tweet and all like that. So.
I remember the days of the paper people, paper boys, we used to call them, come by with their bicycles, tossing the newspaper on your porch in the morning hours. Or, you know, I remember my dad waking up, putting on his slippers and going outside and getting the newspaper. The early edition was the Detroit Free Press, and then the Detroit News came out in the afternoon. And then TV news started playing around with that, so the news started going to a morning publication, the newspapers, because if they were doing an afternoon, they were dated by the newscasts of local and national. Man, technology has changed everything, but I got to tell you, I mean, I used to read newspapers like crazy. I get all my information online now, and it's the same. It really is. And it's just amazing. Text and tweets. What do you have for us this half hour, Tommy?
All righty. This is from Robert in Sioux City, Iowa. Is there a certain serial killer as a news person that you find more fascinating than the rest?
I think they're all, and I don't want to use the word fascinating. I find them all interesting. I mean,
yeah.
John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer. I mean, Bill Gein. I mean, Ed Gein.
Yeah.
He was a farmer, wasn't he?
He was. Let's test your knowledge just real quick. John Wayne Gacy was who?
He was the clown guy out of Chicago.
Who did they call the Night Stalker?
Richard Ramirez.
Who was the one known for his charisma and good looks?
Ted Bundy.
You're 3 for 4. Let's see if you can go 4 for 4.
You've only asked me 3 questions.
No, 3 guys. Now here's the 4th one. Who was the truck painter?
The truck painter.
Killed 71 women, supposedly.
I don't know.
Gary Ridgway.
I remember the name.
Yeah.
It was the Ridgway murders or something like that. The Green River. What was it? It was called the Green River murders or something?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yeah. So these guys are so... fascinating is not the right word that they use, but just interesting.
Fascinating is makes it a little too glorified.
You agree? Yeah, I agree.
Joe in Monterey, California. Joseph, what's up?
Okay, now I don't answer my front door.
Good.
there might be a serial killer in the making. I wanted to talk about sleep paralysis, but yes, I have a landline. I remember the party line. When you pick up the phone, you hear other people.
Yep, happened. Now, we were kids, though, when that happened. Weren't you?
Yeah. I also remember delivering coal.
How about delivering milk to your house?
Absolutely. And ice.
And ice for some people. That's true. They didn't have the kind of refrigeration we have today. Do they still have milkmen?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Remember the Good Humor ice cream man?
My father used to work for Good Humor.
Do they have that anymore?
I believe they probably have trucks somewhere because it's, well, you can't get some of the flavors in other stores. And there are certain rural areas that, you know, they probably deliver some.
I used to remember the little bells that they would have on their trucks, and you'd hear them coming from 2 blocks away. And all the neighborhood kids would be outside with their little quarters and their change to buy their ice cream.
We knew we had 2 ice cream deliverers. One was a private person, and another was the Good Humor Man. And we knew the time that they were coming. We were waiting for them. We knew the time.
What times they were, though? Amazing.
You know, it's kind of funny because the Good Humor used to come before the private person. His name was Sal the Ice Cream Man.
Sal the Ice Cream Man.
In Brooklyn.
That's great. And they were nice trucks, too.
It's really strange because they were more personable.
They were personable. I always used to remember them opening up the refrigeration section, and that steam would come out, and he'd reach in and grab your ice cream bar and give it to you. It was so cool.
They knew us by name.
Yeah, they did. They knew the neighborhood, that's for sure. Yep. And if you missed them, you were down and out for the day.
You'd run after the truck if they passed you by.
Chase them, that's right.
Uh-huh. And they'd stop.
They would, but you got your landline still, huh?
I still got my landline. I always will. I do have a cell phone for only emergencies. I do not have a television.
Do you text messages?
No. On my cell phone, it's always off. It's only for emergencies if I'm traveling.
That's interesting. I live by my phone. It's my portable office.
There's so many different apps on it. I have to be careful because I love technology. I'm always on my computer doing a lot of different things. But basically, I know that if I learn how to master the computer, I'll be lost in it. So I have to keep it at bay.
Interesting. Okay, Joseph, anything else?
Sleep paralysis.
All right, what's going on with that?
Okay. I had to look it up to make sure that I had a little bit more of a broader view on what people believe and what people find out. I don't go along with the science of it because they never figure in anything beyond the physical. Sleep paralysis, there's two different times it occurs, before you fall asleep and after you come back from sleep during the REM cycle.
Yes, you're right.
Now I had two experiences coming back into the body. One was early when I was practicing out-of-body travel, and I was living with someone, and she got out of bed and went to the bathroom, and when she came back, she saw me in two different places. I was out of the body, and I was in my astral body. She saw me in bed.
She saw them both, though. That's amazing.
Yeah, and she freaked out. She thought someone killed me, and
that was your soul or something taking off?
Then she thought it was the devil because I was starting to get back into my body, and I was dissolving. I remember trying to get back into my body, and I had sleep paralysis, and then I was fully into my body, and then I was able to get out of bed and calm her down. Now, the astral body comes out of the physical body to regenerate, to take in energy.
It comes out thing. When you go to sleep, the astral body's floating above your physical body.
It can be anywhere. If you're traveling.
Right, but generally it's about 3 feet over your body.
I've never had that experience, so I cannot validate it.
You're asleep, that's why.
Yeah, or maybe I'm out doing something and that I should be doing.
That you should be doing.
The next time was I was with I had another girlfriend. I actually had more than one.
How many have you had, for crying out loud?
My guide gave me a number, and I said, "Are you sure?"
You're at your quota. That's it.
It's a long, long story of haunting, being haunted.
That's another show.
Yeah, that's a whole other area. So we were in bed. We were either sleeping, I think we were sleeping, and then we started to wake up because we were being attacked.
Psychic attacks.
Yes.
That happens.
At the same time, and we had sleep paralysis together. Isn't that nice? We're together. And I broke out of mine. She broke out of hers. I know that if you move any part of your body, and I moved my pinky to break the sleep paralysis, I couldn't call for help. My mind couldn't think of anyone to call.
Sleep paralysis, Joe, you are locked in. You cannot move. More open lines when we come back.